590 WKZO, it is the trifecta, brought to you in part by Theater Kalamazoo, home to more than a dozen producing theaters in Southwest Michigan. Visit theaterkalamazoo.com for a full listing of theaters and upcoming shows. It is Roger, it is Jim. Indeed. Oh, by the way, want to congratulate one of our listeners, one of our regular ones, George from Dowling, now shares his name with the prince.
Really?
Yes, the new prince's name is George Alexander Lewis. Lewis spelled like Lewis Black, which really kind of interests me, because I think L-O-U-I-S has been the obviously the a king's name before, but I don't know about the other Lewis. Oh, no, it is indeed. They corrected it. It is L-O-U-I-S. See, before they said it was L-E-W-I-S. I'm thinking, wait a minute.
That's peculiar.
That is peculiar. No,
it was peculiar.
It was peculiar because it was wrong.
It was wrong.
So I understand you got a phone call. Oh, by the way, congratulations to Chris and Kelly and David.
They're our
winners.
Won,
they won passes to go see The Conjuring, and we still got two pairs of passes. You never know when it's going to happen. So we're having a lot of fun.
Later in this hour, do
yeah,
you think
it's
got to
be between now and 5, I'm
you
telling
think
you.
It'll happen?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. So you had a phone call?
Well, I didn't, but the front office did.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody suggested that I sound like Bill Scott. Was the actor's name who played Bullwinkle.
Oh, really?
Who did the voice for Bullwinkle in the Rocky and Bullwinkle.
So you sound like,
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. See? Nothing up my sleeve. Presto! Wrong hat.
I love that.
Wrong hat?
Wrong hat. Bullwinkle's one of my favorite things.
Oh, yeah. That whole show.
Oh, yeah. It was classic.
I liked Boris and Natasha.
And then they screwed it up and made a movie out of it. And it's like,
yeah,
oh, guys,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
No, but Rocky and Bullwinkle. And, you know, there should be a class in college.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to teach this. Classic cartoons and their effect on society. Can you imagine going to class and all you're going to do is watch cartoons and then talk about them?
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, where was this when I was, you know, I need this class.
One of the best classes.
There's one out of Valley called The History of Rock and Roll. I like that one, too.
Oh, yeah.
Lou's great. Lou Polka is the guy who teaches it, and he's awesome. I've sat in on that class a couple of times. I'm thinking, you're going to get credit to learn about rock and roll? Man! Where was this class when I wanted it?
Yeah. I took a class in American culture.
Really?
When I was in school.
Is it about yogurt?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, different varieties of yogurt, Activia, you know, depending on what your purpose for yogurting is.
Okay.
No, I'm talking about American culture.
Okay.
And it was a fascinating class. I have to say it was surprisingly one of my favorite classes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
when
fun.
When you go to college, take a class or two for your electives that really interests you, because that will help enhance the whole experience. But it really is fun to take a class like that. And I will tell you from a fact, Lou packs them in. I mean, it's like standing room only.
Oh, yeah.
To get to that class is very tough. You have to be like right there when they open up what do you call it?
Registration.
Thank you very much, Roger. You're the man. All right, so we're going to do a mini topic here really quick, and then we'll get into our other.
Okay.
According to Michigan State University, the idea that Christians are more environmentally conscious than other religions doesn't hold up. According to the study, and I'm going to quote here using the quoting fingers, those who believe in Christianity have, quote, lower levels of environmental concern than non-Christians and non-religious individuals. Now, My point in this is, who thinks this stuff up? I mean, they designated $500,000 for this study? Well, can you just write me a check? Man, I'd go through my neighborhood and find this kind of stuff out.
No.
According, yeah.
I think this is sort of an interesting thing to take a look at. How religion impacts your concern over the environment. I think that's a legitimate thing to look at. I mean, religion certainly comes up. It's not like the United States is a unreligious country.
Oh, no. We are a melting pot of religious freedom. And it's fun. And it's nice. But I'm trying to figure out, because there are some faiths.
Do Buddhists do better at caring for the environment? That would be my guess.
According to this, yeah. I think some faiths that are more in one with the earth probably are greener than maybe Christians are or non-Christians. I don't know.
I would be interested in listeners sharing with us why they think Christians are less concerned about
the environment,
than other religious orientations.
All right.
I don't really get it.
I don't either. So we'll take those calls, and now we're going to move on to a different topic. But I just thought that was interesting that they actually spent money on a study to determine that Christians were a lot less green than we thought they were. And I don't know who thought they were to begin with. I think it's all a part of, some people get dragged kicking and screaming into recycling, and some other people do it because it's the right thing to do. I do it because it's the right thing to do. I recycle as much as I can in my apartment building.
Yeah.
We have recycle containers over by where I live. And I do stuff over there. But still. Anyway, if you want to text us at 80373, you want to give us a call and weigh in.
It's interesting. My friend Rob Sisson,
yes,
who sits in on occasion and guests with me on Saturday morning, he is very conservative.
Yes, he is.
He is a practicing
conservationist.
But also a Catholic.
Oh, okay.
And he has very strong religious beliefs.
Okay.
And so I don't see anything that would keep Christians from being environmentalists.
No, really, there isn't really any,
I don't think it's their religion that stands in the way of their concern for the environment.
And again, I'm wondering who generated the idea for this. So some of these studies, it's just like, oh man, I mean, how or who or what? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, now we're going to go and delve into an area that Roger loves to talk about because he loves the EFEM so much. Did you know, according to the Pew Charitable Trusts, indicated a new word, this must be report hour or something. I don't know. Michigan is one of only 19 states in the union that has intervention in municipal finance type laws, aka the EFEM, as we've so nicely put it. We were one of the first ones in the nation to have one. In fact, those of you who are wondering, the EM law in one form or another has been on state law since 1990. That goes way back.
Yeah.
So what this study seems to indicate is they're thinking that the EM, the fact that we have an emergency manager situation, is going to prevent a lot of other municipalities in the state from following along the lines of what's happening in Detroit.
Why?
Because of the way that I'm guessing because of the way that the law has been put together, where it does allow for local governments to provide get involved in the thought process, which was one of your big bugaboos.
So you're talking the most recent iteation of
the most recent one, when the voters said no, and then all of a sudden the Republican legislature said yes, but they added those things that kind of modified you a little bit because mm-hmm. of the simple fact that it does allow for no removal of the democratic process. In other words, those who are duly elected actually have a say in which road they're going to take. Even though the EM is there, you still have input from the city commission, city council, township, board, whatever, to say, okay, well, which way do we want to go? There's four different things we can do. And it also includes an early warning system that possibly alerts a municipality or a township or whatever to the fact that they may be having some issues and they may want to look at them now. And so this study, this Pew study, is indicating that even though it is controversial, it's a situation where Michigan may be in a good place right now, because municipalities that fall under the umbrella of financial instability will have an opportunity to maybe make their way out of it, Roger, without having to go the bankruptcy route, even though it's a, that having the EM there gives them an opportunity to possibly bypass the bankruptcy idea and guide their way back into, you know, good graces as far as finances go.
I'm looking at the map that shows states that have emergency financial managers and or at least the law that allows them. And it is an odd combination of states. New York State, one of the most liberal states in the country, and Texas, one of the most backward states in the country.
No, conservative.
Oh, okay.
Conservative.
Nevada,
play nice.
A relatively conservative state.
Even though they have a Democratic senator who's a stick in the mud.
Yeah. And Oregon, which is one of the most liberal states. It is an odd combination of states. The really red states in the South, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina, nope.
Yeah.
They don't have it.
You know what really interests me about this? That you can interconnect a majority of the states that do this from Illinois to Maine. The only state between here and the Eastern Seaboard, essentially, that does not have one is Vermont. Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Maine. All of them have it. It's like there's the majority of them are Midwest or Northeastern states.
But then you skip over Kentucky, West Virginia, and Virginia.
Yeah, Maryland. And New Jersey.
Then you get to Tennessee and North Carolina. They have
they
it.
They do. And then you said the other states, the Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, they don't. But then Florida does.
Yeah.
And then you go over and Texas and New Mexico do. But the vast majority of Western states don't. And Nevada and Oregon do. It's interesting. And you'd wonder... Some of these, say for instance, according to the cities cannot file for bankruptcy without their state's permission. Thus, the governor of Snyder having to give permission. By the way, did you know, really quick before we take Andy, did you know that the governor's approval rating bumped up a few points and it came right after he gave approval for Detroit to go bankrupt? Interesting.
Well, but where his ratings began, it's sort of hard not to go up from there. It's like Congress. Senate and the House popularity continues to erode.
Oh, yeah.
And so at some point, they're going to get what's called a dead cat bounce. Numbers will go up.
I don't even know if I want to know about that one.
That's a term that's used on Wall Street to describe the stock market more. But it is interesting that, if your ratings are low enough, eventually the only way is up.
That's true. Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing,
guys? Not bad.
You know, I was talking to Raj, and I said maybe if you take all those states and start playing dot to dot, it'll turn into a dollar sign.
You know, it might be on its side.
There you go.
If you look at it, it might be. Yeah, it might be on its side.
That's one thing I don't understand is, like you were saying, you know, some of these, it's like night and day with these states that allow this law.
Yeah.
And I haven't no rhyme or reason, no idea.
Yeah, it boggled my mind as I looked at the map that New York and Texas. Agree on this.
Maybe this is an apolitical thing, but it really does surprise me that the majority of the states are in the Midwest or the New England and Northeast.
Yeah,
it's kind of interesting. And yeah, there are some strange bedfellows here.
Yeah,
it's just and it's funny that Vermont's the Lone Ranger out there. It's the only one in this whole group of states. From Illinois straight to Maine, that doesn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I think it's definitely a bipartisan. People from both sides agree that sometimes this is just, in fact, a good idea.
Yeah, sometimes conditions warrant doing something. And, I think you may be onto something, that this is just being pragmatic, not ideological.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, hey, thanks Andy. Andy. We appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, yeah. guys.
No, that's a good point. This may be one of those apolitical things that dodges political lines, but it takes on a political tinge, as we talked about in the first topic, where people start pointing a finger and saying, well, this is why this is happening, and this is why this is happening, and whatnot.
Yeah, but most of those states in the Northeast have virtually no Republicans in them anymore.
Yeah.
And yet they all have emergency financial managers or something similar.
This is true. You want to be a part of Pure Michigan? Listen up. We'll tell you how you could be on the trifecta. 590 WKZO, the trifecta, brought to you in part by Asthma Allergy Centers of Southwest Michigan for the office nearest you. Visit asthmaallergycenters.com and by Lake Michigan Credit Union, the best place for your money. Find out why at lmcu.org.
We haven't heard the dogs. Does this mean you accepted my offer the other day?
Still mulling it over.
Okay. But I see you're living up to the agreement.
Yes, I am.
While you consider.
Well, I don't think it's fair that I torture you with that song while I'm trying to figure out whether or not I want to, you know.
Okay.
Do.
I just mentioned it.
Yeah. Okay. It's going to be interesting.
Larry Bell appears to be not waiting for the public meeting.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, he has filed a lawsuit against Enbridge and the developer of the Comstock Commercial Park or Commerce Park.
I think he's mad.
I would personally. Guess. Yeah, I think he was a little honked when we talked to him. You know,
I sense being vexed over this issue.
Yeah. Now let's explain what's going on here, and it's going to fall into place a little bit. The Environmental Protection Agency ordered Enbridge in March to dredge in the Kalamazoo River as part of its cleanup for that oil spill back in 2010 to do additional dredging to pull as much oil out of the river as they possibly could. Now, are you ready? Are you holding on to your hat? Seriously?
I'm sitting down.
Are you sitting
I'm
down?
Ready.
Are you ready for this? Okay. The EPA never notified Comstock Township. Where have we heard this before?
Where?
Let's see. The EPA says, we're going to cap the Allied paper facility. And not tell anybody.
Well, how about when they decided to bring in more PCBs and put there?
Yeah. So apparently the Environmental Protection Agency can run it off on its merry way and not let people know it's going to affect this. So, excuse me, Comstock Township Supervisor Ann Neuenheis says that she thinks the dredge pad is going to be in the long, that they're putting the dredge pad in the wrong place. Larry Bell obviously thinks so because he's filing suit. It says that they're violating the Michigan Condominium Act by failing to tell the Condominium Association the fact that they were going to lease property Enbridge, this being CCP, which is the developer of the Commerce Park.
Comstock Commerce Park. That's yes. what CCP
yes.
stands
Comstock
for.
Comstock Commerce Park. The EPA, apparently, according to Larry, does not know what's in that sediment that they're going to suck up. They're going to put it, as he said, right next to my brewery, and they don't know what contaminants are in there. So he's coming at this from an economic standpoint, and this has always been the track of this, and you cannot blame the man for crying out loud. He is got a business to protect, mm-hmm. and according to him, and more than one person, I can tell you, there is a situation where this possibly could cause some adverse effects and affect him in an economically adverse way, and in a heavy
it's not,
economic.
It's not like he builds widgets next door.
He makes beer.
It's a food product, proof that God loves us, in a bottle.
Fifth Basic Food Group, right?
Yes, and this is a food production facility. It's not like he's turning out checker cabs there that the air wafting off what they're doing next door would have no impact on. He's processing food there.
Now,
and in nobody knows what they're doing out there.
No.
We've never had a spill of this magnitude of the toxic tar sands oil. And so the EPA is making it up as they go, trying to figure out how to deal with this. Unlike most oil spills where it floats on the surface and you can do what BP did in the Gulf and that spray dispersants on it. But most tar sands oil sinks to the bottom because it's heavy. It's like tar. It's asphalt.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never had an oil spill like this. And so we as a culture are learning how to clean up toxic tar sands oil spills by what we're doing on the Kalamazoo River. And what that means is they really have no idea what impact it's going to have on the land next to the brewery.
Well, and
because we've never done an operation like this before.
Well, they came in and they decided they're going to do this without, you know, telling anybody. And they do need permission from the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality to get a permit to do this. And so that's what Supervisor Nieuwenhuis and a whole lot of other people, including Larry Bell and other people, are basically telling the DEQ, no, you can't do this. They did not think this through. Can they dredge? Yeah, they can dredge, but not where they're going to dredge, because where they're going to dredge is going to have an adverse effect on a lot of different people and businesses, and you can't do it.
Well, let's be accurate. It's not where they're dredging. It's where they're putting the spoils from the dredging.
Now,
the dredging is obviously going to be
underwater.
Done in the delta of the Kalamazoo River where it flows into Morrow Lake.
Mm-hmm.
That's where...
at both ends.
Yeah, but that's where this goo accumulated on the bottom that the EPA wants Enbridge to suck out of the river.
And they want to put it in a place.
There's the problem.
Which is near the Crum Avenue plant of Bell's Brewery.
Yeah.
And that's,
there's the problem.
Yeah. So the issue is not necessarily that they're going to dredge. It's where they're going to put it.
Right.
And the supervisor and Larry Bell and a bunch of other people in that area have said there is another spot in the area where they could put it and it wouldn't affect his business. And a lot of other things.
Well,
but I think now it's gotten to the point where, you know, we may just be opposed to this completely because you guys just marched in here and said, we're going to do it whether you like it or not. And we're going to do it and we're going to set things up and we're going to go ahead and start. And then, oh, by the way, we'll tell you what we're doing.
Well, and what kind of an environmental impact study was done on where they were going to put the spoils of dredging here?
I don't think there was one.
Methinks there's the problem.
Yeah.
That it was done in total ignorance.
Well, I'm still trying to get my head around why. Well, I should expect it because the EPA pulled that kind of crap on the people of Kalamazoo when they went in and said, okay, we're just going to go ahead and put a cap on this. And, you know, we don't care. At Allied,
uh-huh.
At the Allied paper side. And we're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, you have to look at it from the EPA's perspective. They have very limited funding. We have a Congress who is dragging their feet, even giving the EPA a director. And they have all these messes all over the country that they're expected to do something about. Their lot in life is not an easy one.
Oh, no. But still.
We have tied one of their arms behind their back. But I agree, they appear to have not done their due diligence before deciding to pile this crap up right next to a food processing facility.
Well, just so you know, their request to do this dredge pad and everything in the Commerce Park is going to be talked about tomorrow at the Comstock Township Planning Commission meeting. And I think they moved the meeting to, and I forget what location it's going to be at, because they anticipate,
I think it's at the high school.
The high school. They anticipate that they're going to have more people than they can fit in a township hall. Duh.
You think?
You think, yeah.
Think Larry Bell will be one of those people?
Could be. 7 p.m. tomorrow. That also, by the way, marks the 3-year anniversary of the oil spill, ironically enough. So the Township Planning Commission is going to deal with the request or addressed by tomorrow. So you could go to the meeting if you want to, but it is a Planning Commission meeting. It's like any other kind of meeting. It's not going to be one of these free-for-alls where you can just stand up anytime you want to and yell and scream and holler. No. You have to follow the procedures. I do not know how much public comment they're going to allow or what their prerogative is as for how long people can talk or if they can talk at all, truth to tell. But I do know that the meeting for the request is going to be tomorrow at 7 o'clock at Comstock High School. So there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So anyway, Larry Bell, owner of Bell's Brewery, is filed a lawsuit against Enbridge. So this is far from over. Even if they do deal with a permit, it's going to go through the court system for a bit. So stay tuned.
Has Bell's attorney asked for an injunction?
Not yet.
Okay.
Nope, not yet. I think the lawsuit was the first to file to see if, and if it doesn't get thrown out, then I'm guessing that may be the next step in the process. So, Roger.
Yes?
Ready to give some stuff away again?
Let's do that.
Okay, we have two sets of passes.
Two pairs of
tickets.
Passes. To what?
To go see RFID. Starring Ryan Reynolds and Jeff Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Bridges, one of my favorite actors. So here's what you have to do. To 80373, you need to text the word dude. And your name, dude.
I looked at the last text when we did this.
Mm-hmm.
We have people who are not putting their name out.
I know. And if you're not putting your name there, then we can't award you the passes because I have to know who it is. So anyway, here we go. Dude and your name. And you could win a pair of passes to go see Dude, otherwise known as Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
In RFID
and
at the Celebration Cinema.
We've got a number of people who did that correctly.
Yes, we have. So I'm guessing we may have our winners already.
I'm thinking
maybe, yeah. Anyway, going to wrap things up. Talk about school supplies again real quickly and then make a note here on some things that are coming up, including the fact Roger gets to take the day off tomorrow.
Ta-da.
It is the trifecta. 590 WKZO getting ready to wrap up this edition of the trifecta. Congratulations to Jennifer and Rich. They're going to see RFID at Celebration Cinema, courtesy of Celebration Cinema.
Cool.
And us. So, congratulations to you too.
I can't wait for tomorrow's show.
I bet you. Roger?
Yes?
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
I did not know this. We talked about this yesterday with the dollar store being really popular, dollar stores being very popular.
Yeah.
About buying school supplies and whatnot. Did you know Michigan, by law, the school district is responsible for supplying students with necessary supplies. Now, therein lies the rub. The phrase necessary supplies.
What are necessary supplies?
Well, apparently some parents in the Standish-Sterling School District got a flyer, pamphlet, whatever, from some teachers in the fifth grade listing what is called about 6 necessary items their teacher or their children would need and another 5 optional items. State law requires districts to provide supplies, classroom supplies. So I'm guessing that the school districts are responsible for providing pencils and pens, paper, maybe crayons. I don't know. What's necessary supplies?
Sadly, this comes down to many teachers bring in those supplies.
Well, yeah, and that's just it. You know, with teacher, you know, the things... according to the superintendent of Standish-Sterling District, the list apparently was sent out because the teachers get requests from like the PTO and PTA and parents in general saying, you know, we want to donate something and, you know, want to know what's needed. It was more like an FYI, according to the superintendent. That's all well and good. But apparently school, Michigan law, and I did not know this. This is another one of those laws that I didn't know about. By law, the school district is responsible for supplying students with necessary supplies. Now, again, the question is, what do you consider necessary supplies? You know, that's the key.
I'm also a little surprised that school supplies in general range from $161 to $330 per student, depending on the grade level.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a large nut to crack for some families.
Yeah, which is why we talked yesterday about how dollar stores are playing into school purchases more and more, because if you go to a specific kind of dollar store, everything is a dollar or below.
Yeah.
And so, but from I understand from a teacher's standpoint, and I feel bad for a lot of teachers because, they do end up spending a lot of their own money on getting supplies because school districts just basically can't afford them. But I did not know that according to Michigan law, school districts are responsible for what they call necessary supplies. And that could be very ambiguous. So, I guess that, that's kind of an interesting topic. So
Bill has an addition to this topic.
Hi, Bill, you got about a minute.
Yeah. All three of my kids had to get the T83 calculator.
Yeah.
And they run anywhere from $89 to $130, depending on which one you get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, clearly, calculators are not school supplies,
well,
Bill.
But they are if it's necessary for a class, though.
No, really? Or the school would have provided it. You just told me the law.
the school doesn't provide a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
We would go to Sam's Club and buy huge things of pencils and all sorts of stuff and donate it.
Yeah. And I think that's, and that happens, and thank you, Bill, we appreciate it. Yeah, that's what happens. And that's not to say that the parents won't donate. They do. They really, really do. But I just thought it was interesting that Michigan law says that school districts have to provide necessary supplies. What we might have to do is pigeonhole one of our lawmakers and say, can you explain what necessary supplies means? Because we would like to know. So, all right, Raj.
Yes.
Tell them what's going to happen on tomorrow's show.
Nothing.
Yes.
This is a Rogers day off.
Yeah, well, we have Major League Baseball tomorrow afternoon. It's a getaway day for the Tigers. They are at Chicago tonight, 7:45 airtime on 590 WKZO. Tomorrow afternoon, 1:45 broadcast time, and then 2:05 first pitch.
Where are the Tigers getting away to?
They are getting away to home. They're going to come back on Friday and host the Philadelphia Phillies.
Ah.
With whom they may be trading some players here. We don't know. We'll have to keep an eye on it.
Do they play the Phillies all weekend?
Yes, all weekend long. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So so tomorrow we will not have a trifecta.
Oh.
Mainly because of the 2:05 start. Now, when
I'm going to come in and sit here and just do it for drill like we were on the air.
Yeah, anybody who believes that, raise their hand.
Think I could put it on my time card?
No.
Okay. No. Never mind. Then I'm not coming in.
Okay. Now, someone's texting in here. Necessary supplies. Anything you need to write with. TP, facial tissues, paper and computer paper, or computer, and math supplies. See, now I would think more
so
like
they
pencils,
can't make
pens,
it, bring
paper,
your
brands.
Own toilet paper.
Well, apparently no.
Okay.
I thought the district supplied that anyway. Although I have seen it on lists before where parents are asked to send it, like, five rolls of toilet paper or five rolls of paper towel or whatever. So, I don't know. It could happen.
Uh-huh.
Don't forget gas and groceries tomorrow, 11 to 1, the South Westnage Harding's Marketplace. Lori is going to be there, and she will have an opportunity for you to win great amount of groceries and a gas card. But you have to be able to tell us
exactly.
Not exactly, but it's got to be either exactly or below. Whoever gets closest, it's the Price is Right rules, and the groceries in the cart. And I was we talked to her about this before. Everybody has their own system. Some people just come in and wing it. Some people look around. Some people do whatever. Whatever your system is, make sure you're out at the Harding's Marketplace in front of Crossroads Mall on South Westnage tomorrow, and you too could be a winner. Indeed.
So, I'll talk to you Friday.
I will talk to you on Friday. 5 o'clock afternoon news is next. We'll talk to you again Friday, same bat time. It is the Trifecta 590 WKZO. Let's go!
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.